Another episode of the Nuclear Medicine Molecular Medicine podcast, and he's speaking to Dr. Thakur, who's published a paper recently, and on a new, and there seems to be a lot of work at the moment on prostate cancer, on a new way of detecting prostate cancer. Perhaps you can start by telling us a bit about yourself and where you work.
Yeah, so I'm Matthew Thakur. I'm a radiochemist by training. I've been in the field of nuclear medicine for several decades. I'm the past president of the Society of Nuclear Medicine and Molecular Imaging. And I work at Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia. I've been there for a few years, and a major thrust of my research is to develop novel radiopharmaceuticals for diagnostic and therapeutic applications.
Now, perhaps you could tell us a bit about this pharmaceutical that you've developed, and what ligand does it bind to, and what isotope does it use?
Very good. So, we have numerous problems, and particularly in the field of prostate cancer, as the age range and lifespan is increases, we get every one person, one male in living per six male of over 60 years and age has the risk of developing prostate cancer. In 2015, in the United States alone, there are more than 250,000 new cases of prostate cancer were found out. About 15% of those die. So it's a very difficult disease. It's a slow-growing, heterogeneous disease. Heterogeneous by its nature, by its histology, by its pathology, as well as by biochemistry. So what we have today, if the patient's PSA goes up in their annual exam, although it is non-specific test, only thing test that we have is the confirmation histologically, which means we have to retrieve the tissue from the prostate in a living person. And that's a very, very morbid test because you have to put a long needle through the rectum into the prostate gland, retrieve 12 samples, you miss 66% of the time, these samples find benign pathology.
Right.
We spend, and there are 1.5 million patients we do that every day in the United States alone.
Right. And imaging is not very effective because
it's
slow
growing.
The only
imaging that we have, there is now PSMA coming up, there is a lot of work going on with copper 68. But at the moment, what we have is fluorine 18, deoxyglucose, and it misses again. There is a lot of bladder uptake, so it's very difficult to get the small little lesions from the prostate of the patient. So what I have been doing over the last 4, 5, 6 years now, starting from the animal work to translating into the human with FDA approvals and institutional approval, is to target a genomic tracer that is relatively new. First paper was developed in 1957.
The moderators?
No, we are.
Not the moderators.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
The session will start at 3:30.
Yeah, I have a monitor.
Okay. So we're just doing something else here, so
okay.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
So we needed something different test now. So I have been targeting these receptors that are genomically expressed on the onset of oncogenesis. And these receptors are called VPAC. VPAC receptors is a encode G protein molecule, so they are heavily expressed on the onset of oncogenesis, only on the malignant cells, but not on the normal epithelial cells. So on the normal growing cell, there are about 5 or 10 of those, but whereas once the biochemistry changes, they erupt in thousands. So normal malignant cell will get about 10 to 15, 100,000 of those.
Right.
So the gradient is, so if you have some specific molecule that will interact with those receptors, then you have a greater chance of detecting the lesion, the cluster of those cells. So I designed a simple peptide several years ago, and 4 of them, in fact, and validated them in a variety of different assays in the lab. Then we did transgenic mice that spontaneously grow prostate cancer to see if it will work in there, and it worked beautifully. And there are lots of stories, work is published. So now what I'm doing as of last month, 33 patients with a prostate cancer. So we injected about small amount, 4 millicuries of copper 64, and the peptide is named as TP3805.
Right.
And inject small amount and image the patient 1 hour later, and the publication that we just referred to has greater than, we found out of 107 lesions that were histologically proven, we found not only those 107, but more that the pathologist has missed. So we went back to the pathologist, and pathologist was like, oh yeah, I missed that, Matthew, you're right. And we did that by digital autoradiography. So we first imaged the patient, we counted the lesion, we did the SUV values, because this is a PET imaging agent. And then patient went for prostatectomy, whole body mount for tissue histology, slices, the results were poor. We got part of the slices back, and then we did autoradiography with copper 6235, and then the other slide, just next to it, we did histology, and then the pathologist read it independently, and then we put the two results together, and we found more lesions with this imaging technique than this one. So it's a very sensitive, we are excited about it. So the next step to do is to go in the more advanced disease of the patients with those have bone metastasis and lymph nodes involved, and see how accurately we can detect it.
Sure. So, and you said this might be applicable to other carcinomas?
It will be. We have already done 25 patients with breast cancer, and we have similar results. So we did certain patients with whole body PET scan, certain only with a PEM, positron emission mammography scan, just like a mammography. So it's a very quick, and the compression is very less. So it's quick, uncomfortable, very comfortable to the patient. And we found, again, very high sensitivity. The work is published, and it is very soon, hopefully, we'll get into the clinical trials.
Now, there's potential for copper therapeutic ligands as well. Could you use copper as a therapeutic agent in this?
Very good question. So there are several other radionuclides of copper that have been proposed, could be of therapeutic importance. The one that I like is copper 67, which is a beta emitter, 2.7 days half-life. And the uptake that we have in the tumor is very high in animal models. So it's about 7 to 8%. So that has some definite therapeutic significance. At the moment, we don't have a continuous reliable supply of copper 67, but one day it will be, and that will be my next steps. But that's not a good question.
Excellent. So this was published in Oncology?
The breast cancer paper is published in 2014 in Journal of Nuclear Medicine.
Right.
And then the prostate cancer patient paper is published in Urology just a couple of months ago.
Excellent. Yeah. So that's how people can find out about this.
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
I just have a small grant now to do the bladder cancer.
Bladder cancer
is another notorious way to treat it.
Very difficult.
There's nothing that we have at the moment.
Right.
And then they do cystoscopy, then they miss the white light. So they miss the lesions. They treat the patient for 1 month, and then they do the radical cystectomy. That means if you have a male, you not only take the bladder, but also, but prostate as well. If you are a female, then not only bladder, but cystectomy and all that. So it's very, very radical cystectomy. And I'm hoping that I will minimize those number of unnecessary things.
Right, because we'll be able to identify whether there's really metastasis
or not,
and potentially perhaps through therapy, and in a very difficult therapy.
This is
wonderful.
Question.
Yeah, you were telling me something about how this could be used for prostate biopsy.
Right. So because we have the only other way today, once the patient is up, to find out if there's a prostate or benign prostatic hyperplasia, is to do biopsy. Biopsies are very morbid. We miss them 66% of the time statistically, the lesions. So if we have a patient that is suspicious of prostate malignancy, we can give this agent, inject it intravenously for 4 minutes, image the patient in 1 hour, and we can minimize, if not eliminate, most of the unnecessary biopsies.
Right.
And that's a great advantage, both to the patient, to the economy, to the health insurance company, who spend millions and millions of dollars for unnecessary biopsies, and that's where.
Right, and the biopsies for prostate can cause problems with sexual dysfunction. They
not
cause problems
that,
with that. With,
not
with
only that, but infection. One of my friends was hospitalized for 1 month, not because of his primary disease, but just to combat his infection.
Yeah.
You know, in the United States, the mother gives the birth to the child, and she has to be out in 24 hours.
Yeah.
This guy was hospitalized for 1 hour, one month, almost died because of infection. Because this is a non-sterile procedure.
Yeah.
So one of my objectives to, if not eliminate, minimize those unnecessary biopsies, and that would be great service.
Excellent. So, thank you very much. Yeah.